by Majestic Perfection. It sold for $285,000, $230,000, $220,000, $160,000, $155,000, $132,000 out of Keeneland. They look and act like runners, just like their sire. Majestic Perfection sold for $370,000 as a two-year-old in training sale, with the astute horseman David Engordo making the successful bid. Later, David was quoted as saying that Majestic Perfection was the best-looking horse I ever bought at public auction. Majestic Perfection lived up to his looks, never beaten on a fast track. He won the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt Stakes at Saratoga by nearly three lengths at the direct expense of Breeders' Cup Sprint winner Big Drummer, earning a 115 buyer. Sprinted six furlongs, 107-1, posting a 117 buyer, and was described by Steve Asmussen as the fastest horse I have ever seen. Majestic Perfection is a superb individual. He was a superb racehorse. His first foals are superb individuals, and we're betting that they, too, will become superb racehorses. He stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton, C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here in the clocker stand at the Thoroughbred Center. Not a whole lot of action out here today. The track looks a whole lot like Elkhorn Creek. I think we had 10, 12 works, something like that, but most people just came out and galloped.
Oh, good. It was so nice to get the rain.
Yeah, well, we needed that rain. And yes, everything's greened up already. I'm looking out in the infield here, and it's as green as it can be, and we commented on it driving in. And, I'm all for the rain, I tell you what. I don't have to hay until later.
Exactly.
Saves us money. Every rain saves us a little bit of money. But we're at the training center. It looks like rain again out there right now, but I don't think it's going to. Last time we looked at the radar, it looked like it had moved on by us. But what are we going to do today? Tim Shue, who is trained with the Preston Stable, is going to come over at about 11. The Preston Stable just purchased Greg Fox's training center right next, which adjoins the Thoroughbred Center here. As you go to the stable gate in the training center, you look to your right, and that there it is. It's got a sign out there, and that says Preston Stables, as you would expect. And it's a wonderful facility. Went over there the other day to talk to Tim, and they were galloping out in the field. Beautiful gallops. You can grass gallops. And of course they utilize the track here at the Thoroughbred Center and everything that trains here. Preston Stable, of course, that's Mr. Art Preston. He's got his farm down in Bourbon County. And, he's got a nice stable of horses and he's got a good trainer in Tim. Dr. Doug Byers and Michael Bluen will be here shortly, I assume. I haven't heard otherwise, so that means they're usually en route. And I guess Doug's driving because he won't. Michael's too slow, he says.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Steve Moody is going to give us the winner of the Dogwood Stakes, which is a feature race down at Churchill Downs today. Of course, Steve is with the Bloodstock Research Information Services, and he puts out the Kentucky Handicapper sheet, which you can get online at brisnet.com. Most of them you can buy. Of course, you can pick them up out of Keeneland or wherever the racing form is sold. You can get that Kentucky Handicapper sheet. I'm going to do a little history today. They're running the Gallant Bloom Stakes I remember that filly real well. She was the daughter of a gallant man, and she was just a terrific race filly. Also, the Gallant Bob Stakes is run, so there's the same sire line, but just one generation removed. And we might look at Gallant Bob, who was a champion sprinter, and Gallant Bloom, who was a champion two-year-old and champion three-year-old filly of her year. Unbeaten as a three-year-old, Albert, she did finish second once, but was the winner was disqualified and placed third. I believe they moved her back to. Got Jackie's announcements. Maybe we'll do a little Joe Palmer or whatever is going on. If we have a little time there. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. We've had eight winners. We've had 25 so far on the month. A little better than a winner a day. The trainers of those winners, Matt Frazier, won another quarter horse race up at Indiana Downs. Bill Hickey won one at Kentucky Downs. Luis Jurado won one at Kentucky Downs. Luis is having a pretty good month. He's won four races already this month. Nice feller. Juan Rubalcaba won one at Churchill. Jimmy Cargan won one at Mountaineer. So did Tommy Mills. Tommy won with Jazzle. That's the son of Jazzle at Tommy's trained all this time. I think he's won close to $200,000 with that little horse. Oh, maybe over $200,000 with him. Won a stakes down there. Won that stakes race by 8 lengths.
Oh, nice.
And they disqualified him. And
jerks.
Because he swerved a little coming out of the gate. And they took away that stakes win. But he's placed in several other stakes down there. It's a horse with a lot of gas. And let's see. John Langemeyer won with Dalton DeGreen down at Indiana Downs. And last night at Mountaineer, Jesse Caudle won with Tater Taunter. Tater Taunter is, I think he's won, I don't know how many races with that filly now. Two or three, anyway. She was bred by Fred Clark, Fred and Nancy Clark over here at Clarkland, not Mitchell, excuse me, over at Clarkland Farm. Fred and Nancy Mitchell over at Clarkland Farm. Tater Taunter. All righty. Well, let's see what we're doing here. Let me get something out of the way, like commercials. And then we'll get Jackie in going in, starting in on her announcement. You over there sorting them out?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. She brought a banana and a bread. Well, in racing last Saturday, the Grade 3 Kentucky Downs Turf Cup Stakes was won by Temeraine, a four-year-old son of Arch. At Belmont, the Grade 3 $200,000 Noble Damsel Stakes was won by Peace Preserver, four-year-old filly by Warfront. And at Parks, the $250,000 PTHA President's Cup Stakes was won by Swift Warrior, a five-year-old horse by First Samurai. Tamarain, bred by Donald and Mitchell Nile, and has earned over $446,000. He's one of 14 2013 stakes horses by Arch. Nine of the 14 have won or placed in graded stakes with four graded stakes winners. Priest Preserver, bred by Cherry Valley Farm, is Warfront's 14th 2013 stakes winner. 10 of the 14 have won graded stakes. He's having one heck of a year. He ranks fifth on the general sire list, first on the juvenile sire list. Winner stakes last year at Belmont, Priest Preserver has earned over $382,000 now. Swift Warrior, bred by Paget Bloodstock, Neartic Bloodstock, and Carhu Investments, has earned nearly $617,000, and he's one of six 2013 stakes winners, 12 stakes horses by First Samurai, and eight of the 12 have won a place in graded stakes, including a grade one stakes winner. Warfront, Arch, First Samurai, stand at Claiborne Farm, inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website, claibornefarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is bristnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. In-depth trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive brisk, pace, speed, and class ratings, free membership, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover bristnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, the Clay Ward Agency was founded during the Depression by Mr. James Clay Ward. He built a successful business the hard work, a thorough knowledge of the horse business and service you could depend on. And the company's been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds ever since. Those traditions are carried on today by the Clay Ward Agency, by Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, John Hess. The Clay Ward Agency is located in Parrish, Kentucky. For reliable, worry-free service, give them a call. 859-987-1861. 987-1861. Just think about the beginning of the Civil War with a 987 in front of it, and you've got the number. Talk to Shaq or Bruce or John. And Clay Ward Agency is closely affiliated with Indian Creek. Indian Creek's a farm long noted for raising and selling runners. They've sold 6 champions already. Indian Creek is a regular consignor to the major sales. You still have an opportunity to buy a yearling that you know was raised the right way. Just go to Barn 45 out of Keeneland. They sell today. The Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek, those are two names that you can trust in the thoroughbred industry. All right. Well, I've got an announcement, by golly. The show is on at the regular time next week because the Kentucky-Florida game is a night game to kick off at 7 o'clock. So we will be on at the regular time right here at 10 o'clock, right here at the old Crocker stand. And we were here. Well, here comes Mike, and here comes Doc up the walk right now. Let me give old Alfred Knuckles, Alfred's a good friend of mine, give him a plug while we're waiting for them to get up here. The Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club is honoring Alfred as the Farm Manager of the Year. And they're having their annual dinner dance to do so on Friday, September the 27th. So give them and they're going to have it out at the Red Mile in a round barn out at the Red Mile. Cocktails and samplings begin at 6 o'clock. And samplings? I wonder what a sampling is. I guess whatever.
Anyway. One piece of something.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good old Alfred from down at in Midway, Kentucky. Nice guy, and I'm glad to see that they're doing that. Good morning, Doc. How are you this morning?
Doing fine.
Good, fine. And Michael, how are you this morning?
All right, Ursula. Beautiful day here in the neighborhood.
Well, I think the rain is over. And I think maybe this is going to be all right for the Secretariat Festival down there.
Yeah,
I was
can't
a little
wait.
Bit worried about it.
I'm going down there. Did you read the paper today?
What?
Penny Chenery talks about her affair with Lucien Lauren. I'm telling
really?
You, yeah. Oh, this
really?
Is hot stuff.
Really?
Holy
front
God.
Page of the Herald Leader. You didn't get your Herald Leader. You're hearing it here.
Nothing mm-hmm. like 20-year-old gossip.
Yeah, 20-year-old,
nothing. 40-year-old. She's 91, I think.
Well, when you get to be 91, you can talk about what you damn well please, can't
exactly,
you?
Exactly, yeah. Right. Exactly. But anyway, that
I hope I make
add
it.
A little.
Yeah, right.
Now the National Enquirer is going to show up at the Secretariat Festival. It's going
to
be wild.
Leave it up to Michael to point something like that out,
yeah,
though. You
yeah.
know that.
It's on the front page of the Herald Leader. It's no secret.
I tell you what, though, she's a lovely woman, though.
Yes, yeah, she is.
Oh, yeah, she
really is.
Yeah.
I did an interview.
That's the thing.
With her.
He was such an ugly little man. I mean, that's the surprising thing of it, right?
Ah, but he was French.
Huh? Maybe that's it. Parlez-vous. I'll try it. See if it. I'm an ugly little man, too, so.
Too late for us, I'm afraid.
If I start speaking French, it might help me out.
Yeah.
Here, I got you another copy of This Was Racing.
Oh,
that,
my
where
God.
The binding actually.
That
works.
Is in mint condition.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, it's in better condition than you are, which is why I gave it to you.
You think it'll outlive me?
Well,
I'll live all of
mine. I know. That's what the Scotch tape, when I saw the Scotch tape binding.
Which one is this?
This is
this
was racing with,
oh,
Joe,
yeah,
Palmer,
yeah.
with okay. Joe Palmer. Yeah. It, I said, well, thank you. That's so
his
nice.
Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
we got another book it. For you. That's Doug give you that book.
Where the Rivers Run North. What is this, Doug?
That's good friend of mine, veterinarian, sent me that, and now I've blanked out. He's got a farm right down here on Ironworks, and he's a great, great guy. And he said, I got a book I want you to read. And I've mentioned it before. It's basically the horse in America
mm-hmm.
and the development of domestication and, you know, Indians and whatever. And, you know, the horse was so valuable for transportation,
oh, yeah.
labor, war. And so it's set mostly in Montana. And interesting thing to me was that a lot of the early horses were polo ponies, and they ship them all over the world.
Really?
Yeah. Polo ponies were a big deal.
Hmm.
And
well, it looks fascinating. Yeah. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, I think you'll a couple of people, Barry Simon and others that have read it, said they're just glued to it.
Oh, good.
So basically, it's a great appreciation for what the horse
mm-hmm.
brought to us.
The history of the horse.
Yeah.
And its contributions
and
to it.
Yeah. And it changed dramatically.
Yeah. So. Oh, of course it has. Yeah. Since the automobile.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that happens, you know. Well, what's going on with you, old friend?
Well, a lot of neat things. Well, you know, on Wednesday, Rosie Naprovnik rode 5 winners at Kentucky Downs and finished. And the other four, she had 9 mounts, and she finished in the money on the other 4.
Is that right?
And the next day, she came to Old Friends and modeled this hat for us. Some great pictures. If you Matt Woolley, who took the pictures, his website is Equisports, and the pictures are up on Facebook. But she modeled a hat that was based on Sean Avery, his racing colors and his personality.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful, beautiful hat. And Rosie modeled it with him and with Silver Charm.
Oh, good.
So the pictures are really, really fabulous.
I'd like to see them.
Yeah.
She's a very attractive girl.
She looks great in these things, and she's really sexy, and the pictures are great. She'd go in Vanity Fair.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, it's really great. Really great stuff.
Yeah. Wow. You woke up a medic over here.
Now, that's like saying that. Something.
Yeah, right.
Now, if I keep talking like that, one of us will have a heart attack.
Yeah, we gotta go.
You're too old for this. But anyway, that's good. Jerry settled in very, very nicely. They wrote a really nice thing about him in the racing forum today about him. He won the inaugural Woodbine Mile.
Jerry, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was nice. So that's
in Sunday edition or the Saturday edition?
Saturday edition.
I haven't had a chance. All I look, of course, you mean
I haven't looked at the Sunday edition yet because you have it here.
It's
I haven't
there.
Been able to steal it.
He's got away with it a couple of times, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so that was it was great seeing Rosie, and she's riding up in Maryland today at all those big races up in Maryland. So.
Yeah, well, big day in Maryland, big day in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Everywhere today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pennsylvania Derby. My friend Charlie Pegg, who owns part of
the Cotillion's a big one up there. Cotillion's grade one, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Pennsylvania Derby's a grade two.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
They got a nice field, though. They got a grade one field.
Oh, I know.
There.
Yeah.
And then when's the Jockey Gold Cup? Like in another 2 weeks or 1 week even?
Coming up pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting awful close this first day of fall.
And then we got the Breeders' Cup. This is really something.
Yeah.
It's going to get exciting.
Yeah. I wonder, because the looks like the two best older horses are not going to meet, though. Game on Dude, I imagine, will go in the Classic. And the Wiseman's Ferry horse,
Wise Dan
will go in the Mile, I'm sure. Boy, they're tough. Between those two, they've won $10,600,000.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Raised on Macaulay products. That's how I know that. I looked it up for a commercial.
Well, Charlie Lopresti many times has used the services of our friend Dr. Byers.
Yeah. Dr. Is he a friend of yours, Doc?
Charlie will be at that party tomorrow.
Oh, well, good. I've never met him.
Yeah.
We've got a mutual friend.
He's a good guy. He reminds me of me.
Oh.
Charlie's a great
guy. Modest fella.
Yeah.
His wife, Amy, is the doll. Mm-hmm. And anyway, good people.
Well, great.
You'll meet him tomorrow.
Well, great. Can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. We're all going to Dr. Byers' birthday party. Birthday.
No, no, please, please, please. I don't want that. I tried to talk Susan out of doing anything, and she's turned this thing into...
What? Everybody's looking forward to seeing everybody. It's going to be a nice get-together. It just happens to be on your birthday. It's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah, there.
See?
We're going to show up whether you like it or not.
You try to do something nice for him, and it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
no, I don't want that. He gets grouchy.
I'm going to have my Lazarus profile because I'm just about a year... to survival.
Yeah.
So she's combining all that. She's still alive.
Bit of a dramatic reenactment.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be a wild party. I can't wait to.
Yeah. Well,
unless he withdraws my invitation, which he might do.
Charlie is a good friend. We have a mutual friend in Dr. Murray West.
Uh-huh.
From down in Bourbon County. He's my doctor he goes out. He's a great photographer, by the way. Murray is, and he's gone out and taken a lot of pictures of the horses that LaPresti's got, you know. So, you know, and he's a big curling fan. You go in his office in Bourbon County down there in Paris, and here's these big pictures, you know, the photographs that he's taking. They're great, you know, and curling, you know, is in about every other one. He's a smart strike, and he thinks is a, you know, best stud horse in the world, and
it's nice. Well, he gets excited about it.
Curlin is a really nice horse to be around. He really is.
He?
Yeah,
it's a gorgeous animal.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah, he really is.
He and of course he was mixed up with those two guys from Georgetown that went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Shirley Cunningham and Bill Galyon.
Yeah, but. Charlie's a bit of a cowboy. He gets these guys to break these horses and ride them around. And he says little things like those cowboys would say, well, boy, these horses are flinchy and jumpy. And he says that because they get them on the hot walkers and they hit the electrical. So he doesn't let them do that.
Yeah, on the automatic hot walkers?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So, you know, just want them put their hands all over these horses. And
yeah.
So he's a good horseman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun to watch that horse run, otherwise, Dan. Of course, the successful Dan is no slouch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's won pretty near a million now, hadn't he?
Yes.
A little over
a million.
Yeah. I think about $1.3 million.
That's the only mare that that guy owns.
Yeah.
Is the dam of those things.
Yeah. Lisa Danielle.
Yeah. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Very good, Doc. Hey, I see you're wearing a Midas Touch.
Yeah. Yeah,
Bear. You've been doing business with Jerry Assinger then.
I went over there to look at that horse. And,
son of Galileo.
I'm going to shop around a little bit. And, because I didn't breed my mare back because I didn't want to leave Susan with a problem because I didn't know if I was going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't need to be fooled with.
You didn't breed her back.
I didn't breed her back.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that ain't going to hurt. You can get her next year.
She's a lovely mare.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. Her name's Lady Byers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, let me take a break.
You can tell he trusts me now because he sent me over the fence the other day to give her a little butte.
Yeah. He probably trusts the mayor. The first yearling by Mizzen Mass offered at the current Keeneland September sale sold for $380,000. So far, 18 have been offered, 16 have sold. And prices befitting the only sire of two winners of Grade Two Breeders' Cup races last year. They're selling for $270,000, $135,000, $115,000, $100,000, $95,000, $85,000, $82,000. Those two winners of Breeders' Cup races, Flotilla and Misdirection, have both won major stakes again this year. Flotilla has won the classic Group 1 French 1,000 guineas. Misdirection has won three more graded stakes. Pushed her earnings to over $1 million. Mizzen Mass has sired five Grade 1 winners. He sired the winners of major stakes at distances from 6 furlongs to 1.25 miles. He sired the winners of major stakes on dirt, grass, artificial. He sired a classic winner. He sired as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop. In short, Mizzen Mass has accomplished about all that could be asked of a sire. Horsemen are aware of this, and that's why there's a demand for his progeny at the sales. Grade 1 winner Mizzen Mass stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com.
And Stephanie's Kitten gets running robe and runs on to win.
Pardon me. Excuse me, ma'am. I'm trying to catch a purse snatcher. I understand that one Kenneth Ramsey, the leading owner, has been stealing all the purses from the Saratoga race course on a daily basis. Do you have any clue as to why this is happening? Kitten's Joy? It's due to Kitten's Joy? What is a Kitten's Joy? You say Kitten's Joy is the number one sire in America of stakes winners, Grade 1 winners, stakes horses, and graded stakes horses? And where would I find this Kitten's Joy? At Ramsey Farm? So Kitten's Joy is the reason for all of this purse snatching? I guess the only way to catch a purse snatcher like Ken Ramsey is to beat him at his own game, which would be to buy a Kitten's Joy or breed a Kitten's Joy. One more thing, ma'am. Keep calm and contact Ramsey Farm.
Well, last Saturday, Woodbine, the Grade 2 $200,000 Summer Stakes was won by Ma Conquistadori, a two-year-old filly by Artie Schiller, bred by Paul Tackett, known in Georgetown, and sold first for $70,000 at Keeneland in September, then for $240,000 at the OBS March sale. Trained by Mark Cassie, the Summer Stakes was the first start of her career. Not only did she win decisively over Colts, thus earning a rising star status from the Thoroughbred Daily News, but she punched her ticket for the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Also owning rising star status was Hop the Six, another two-year-old filly by Artie Schiller, winner of the Small Wonder Stakes of Delaware. Bred by the Elkstone Group and trained by Ron Potts, Hop the Six earlier won the White Clay Creek Stakes, also of Delaware. In addition, Spanish Flower, a two-year-old filly by Artie Schiller, ran second by less than a length in the Grade 2 $200,000 in the Talma Stakes at Woodbine. And Ex-Balik, a four-year-old son of Artie Schiller, ran second in the $150,000 Kentucky Downs Turf Dash Stakes, beating a half length. Two stakes wins and 2 seconds and rich stakes on the same day. You get a lot of run for your money with Artie Schiller. Stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim. See the website, windstarfarm.com.
Yeah,
Paul, you were talking about Paul Tackett.
Yeah,
he's a good friend of yours, too.
Yeah.
I've known Paul for longer than Paul would like to admit, I guess. I tried to call him down in Georgetown the other day. One day before yesterday, wasn't it, Jackie? Yeah.
Temporarily
said that his number's been temporarily disconnected at the owner's request for some reason.
I am not sure that he's not sold part of that farm.
Is that right?
Yeah, or relocated.
No. Oh, okay. Well, doggone. He ought to have a phone number down there somewhere.
Yeah, I've got it somewhere.
Okay. I'll get with you. Try to get in touch with him. Well, what are you going to talk about today, Doc?
Well, I think you and I talked about this compounding thing that has been in the news a bit. So
yeah.
I thought I'd flash some notes and just kind of review it. It's a problem that's not going to go away.
Okay.
It's just, you know, people that use drugs properly either are FDA approved,
mm-hmm,
and new animal drugs as part of it, and so that's the legal aspect of it, which the FDA provides quality control, dosage, storage,
mm-hmm,
everything in their requirements. Now, problem with that is it costs a lot of money. So if you were to try to approve an FDA-approved drug, it's going to be $10 million to $100 million to get it approved.
And how long will it take?
It may take years.
Yeah,
years.
Exactly.
And
get the government involved, yeah.
So what they do with compounded products, they either have to have a drug that has been outdated. In other words, they don't produce it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So now they can grab that and put it into a compounding product. And or it goes on the market illicit. So that, you know, in other words, you're going to look at a vitamin mix
mm-hmm.
that has no standards, but it's still recognized as a vitamin mix, mm-hmm. but they don't make any claims. Mm-hmm. They don't say improves performance or does this or does that. They just don't make any claims,
mm-hmm.
so they're protected. Now, if it's an older drug that's already had a claim, they can use that old description. And so there's a lot of drugs that, like dipyrone, that now becomes compounded because they're not produced anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of that. The AAEP, Equine Practitioners Association, has some standards. So they say that, number one, an FDA-approved drug is okay for compounding as long as it's
mm-hmm.
done appropriately. Generic drugs, like your aspirin that's been around forever,
mm-hmm.
you can use that. And you don't really see descriptions of the aspirin except for on TV. And then if you manipulate those drugs and change the dosage or the content, then they become illicit.
Mm-hmm.
Not supposed to use them. But the bottom line is, and Jackie's a lawyer, so she knows that there's no, it's kind of like immigration. There's no enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
So the horse is not a food animal species. So meat is monitored and everything else, and that's not part of the equine industry. So there's no reason for them to spend all the money and chase down these things when they're expecting equine industry to take care of it. Well, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen. So just all of these illicit things that are out there. Now, some of them create problems. So there was an incident in Florida where the dosage of a, I don't want to say a vitamin mix, but I don't think that's right.
Is it working?
And it killed 24 horses.
Wow.
And so they mixed up the content of the drug in a compounding, licensed compounding group and manufacturer. Anyway, they mixed it up and it killed those horses.
Mm.
Well, they overdosed them, and so then there's no standards of quality that are monitored. That's the point. The FDA monitors standards of quality.
Yeah, yeah.
And if the FDA is cut out of the loop and it's too expensive to get them in the loop, then they're just out there. The people that got that fungal meningitis, that a lot of people died. That was a compounded mixture. So, I mean, that's going to be, yeah, I think 40, 50 people died.
Wow.
And so the compound was contaminated. They found the fungus in the compound. And so those things are routine. So anyway, how do you know what you buy is safe, effective, whatever? You don't. You don't.
Huh.
So that's the problem.
There's nothing can be done, is it?
Well, I mean,
some of these places are reputable, aren't they?
Oh, very much.
Yeah,
very
right,
much.
Yeah, right.
And they do as good a job as they possibly can.
Yeah.
But they're really not regulated. So the number of compounding pharmacies has increased exponentially because it's money, more money, and it's cheaper to produce them. And so that's common, very common.
Yeah. Huh.
Well. So you just have to be selective with what you're going to use.
Yeah. Did you ever order anything from
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legally, and Jackie, chime in here, but you are going to take a drug that you're going to give a child, and you change the form and make a boutique product, and you give it to one patient, so you have a prescription. But there's no prescriptions on these things. So you're trying to get it in a form that child will eat it. Mm-hmm. And so here we just get, and we're not supposed to have bulk products, but they're out, they're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for the horses, and I always say the horses are the deaf mute, which I say commonly, but they're a perfect thing. They don't tell.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong,
they can't tell you.
They can't, yeah.
If you can't see it, it's...
Right, right.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I never gave that much thought.
Well, here's the Blood Horse has an article on compounding problems.
I've got it.
Yep. Yeah. And so it's an issue that I don't know that we are capable of resolving.
Yeah.
And, of course, we got cheaters.
Yeah.
Lots of cheaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Doc. That's very, very interesting. Very interesting. Take a break, and Michael, I'll get another word out of you and let you guys out of here. Invisor is the sire in his first crop. 2013 graded stakes winner, Ausus. Winner of the grade 3 Modesty at Arlington. Placed in the Grade 1 Beverly D Stakes at Arlington, and in two stakes down at the Fairgrounds, the Bayou Handicap and the Marie G. Krantz Memorial. She's earned nearly $332,000. He is also the sire of the 2013 Stakes winner St. Arthur, winner of the Ontario County Stakes, and placed in three other stakes. Among the three, the $125,000 Bertrand Riff Bonguard at Belmont Park. He's earned over $129,000. He's a sire of Expression, winner more than $208,000, placed this year in the Magnolia Jackson Stakes and the Gold Princess Stakes, both at Belmont, of Chichanko, placed in the Manatee Stakes down in Florida, 516, placed in the Curlin Stakes at Saratoga, Midnight Vader. He placed in two stakes as a two-year-old. Invisor, elected to the Hall of Fame, winner of nine Grade 1 stakes, including the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Dubai World Cup. Horse of the World stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stag Manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Had to go over to Quill and Tack the other day and picked up a couple of halters. Three, as a matter of fact. That stud horse out there that we're boarding, the rescue, he's gone through. This is his third halter now. And one of them was a very expensive halter, a stud halter, that we dressed him up when we got him and everything. And I've mowed that damn paddock. I don't 6 times now, and I've yet to find it. I don't know what he did with it.
Yeah, he buried it somewhere.
But he's wearing
future reference.
He's wearing an old turnout halter now, let me tell you. The second one, which they fixed over at Quill and Tack for me. But, I mean, we've got 2 Gildens turned out up on the hill, and they undress each other regularly, you know. And you come look out, and there's one of them with a halter hanging down around his neck, you know. And you know what I'm talking about, Doc.
Yeah.
So, I've spent a lot of money over there with Ralph. Of course,
that's good.
Well, that's good. Yeah, because he spends a lot of money on you. Well, it's a great tack shop.
It is great.
And they do a fantastic job. I took those halters in, and they had them ready the next day, if you can believe that or not. They called me, and I said, fine, you know. So I let him run around out there naked for a couple of days before I put another halter on him. But if you've never been to Quill and Tack, Leather and Tack down in Paris, it's a great place to visit. It's a great tack shop. It's a wonderful tack shop. The nation's largest custom halter shop. And it's a great gift shop, and it's fun to go in there. There are nice people in there. Sandy and Debbie are nice to talk to. And so is Ralph, if you can catch him. And he's pretty hands-on with that leather, too, you know. You know, he gets down there and works with it. You know,
I think he likes it.
If you can get him out behind a computer.
Yeah, he likes it, though.
Out of his brewery, which he's building. Can't wait for that. Well, it's Quill and Leather and Tack down in Paris, Kentucky. If you're coming in, if you want to find it, come in from the Lexington area, just go to the 3rd stoplight and look on your left. You can't miss it. Quill and Leather and Tack. Okay. And the Sunday edition, I'm trying to keep Michael from stealing it.
Good luck.
Good luck. Is out. Of course, that's the Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition is included in that Sunday edition. I just picked mine up just a few minutes ago, so I haven't read it yet, but there's an article in there owned by John Sparkman. I like to read him on the influence of sire lines or on graded stakes winners, and he's mentioning Sadler's Wells. Hot Sires had at the Keeneland Sales. Patrick Reeds wrote about that. Especially talked about a couple of first crop sires. Changes in the criteria will eliminate some black type for selected stakes races next year, and they say that it's going to affect Midwest stakes more than anybody else. You know, that would be Arlington Park and races like that. Joe Nevels is writing about that one. Nicole Russo is writing about Malibu Moon. And, of course, there's comprehensive reporting on graded stakes reports and the sire lists. And also, if you want to visit dailyracingform.com/breeding, you can check it out. But it's the Daily Racing Form Breeding Edition, the Sunday edition of Daily Racing Form, which just came out today on your newsstands. All right, Michael.
Well, on a sad note, we lost Classy Briefcase this week.
Oh, my.
She was a fabulous mare. She set a world record for 5 furlongs at Monmouth Park. She has a race named after her there, the Classy Briefcase. And she had a lot of fans. You know, Janet, who works with us, she adored this horse. And he'd had some neurological problems. He'd been into the clinic, and we were working on some things, but I guess she just decided it wasn't worth it. But she was an amazing, amazing mare. Got a nice email this morning from her former trainer, Phil Serpy from New York, who talked about how much he meant to her. And one of his former owners, Lara Levine, who works with us now, she works for Triple Crown in Southern States, helps us with our feed and everything. She was a part owner of Classy when she went into the breeding shed with Dan Kelleher, and got a nice note from Dan about having Classy. So that was... That wasn't a very nice day, but she was she was classy with a K and classy with a C.
Yeah, gee whiz, she was a nice mare.
Very, very, very nice. And I'm looking forward this afternoon to going over to the Secretariat Festival. You know, people going in and out of the Secretariat Festival could stop by and see Ralph. It's going to be mobbed over there. I mean, it's a great event. Talking about it last week, but today's a big day, and we got a lot of spillover from that. A lot of people came out. They wanted to see Tinner's Way. We have Tinner's Way there at Old Friends, who's Secretariat's greatest living colt horse. And
We have his worst living, longest living colt.
You do?
Jackie says we have his worst longest living. Yeah, he's 28 years old. He won a race there down at Birmingham.
There you go.
Then they closed the track.
There you go.
Which might tell you something.
That was it. That should be a lot of fun today. That should be, you know, it's going to be packed over there, and they've got a lot of different events going on, a lot of things for kids to do, a lot of things for adults to do. Great memorabilia. Penny's going to be there. Ronnie Turcotte's there. Charlie Davis, who was Secretary of Exercise Rider, came by the farm the other day and autographed a picture for Rosie. It's going to be really, really, as usual, it's a nice event, and it just gets better every year. So
yeah, and the weather's good. I think the rain's gone by.
Yeah, man. I just got a call this morning from my friend in Louisville. Said it's sunny out there.
Yes.
We should be here in about an hour or so.
Yeah, the sun shines bright.
This is,
there's a whole lot going
Russell
on.
Russell Ellis, your hippy-dippy weather man.
Dippy, maybe. No hippy.
That was George Carlin. Used to do that great comedy routine. Hi, Wonderful Wino. He worked for WINO. I'm the hippy-dippy weatherman for Wonderful Wino.
He would know that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. What's your next event coming up?
Well, this is going to be really a great event. It's going to be at the Holly Hill Inn on October the 6th.
Okay.
And it's actually going to be a preview of a larger event. Next October, we're going to do a big event over at Woodburn Farm with Governor Jones and Libby Jones and the Racing Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a celebration of Woodburn and their great tradition of horses. You know, I found out from Ann Peters that Sunshine Forever is directly descended from a mare at Woodburn.
Is that right?
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Wow. Yeah.
11 generations, I think it was.
Wow.
I think it was 11. Maybe it's more than that. But anyway.
That's the gal who rides for the Blood Horse?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get her on.
Oh, yeah, she's terrific. She used to work at Three Chimneys. Maybe she still does advise them on breeding, but she's really, really good.
Oh,
yeah.
Does she live in Lexington?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll give them a call over there.
Get Ann. She's really articulate. She's very, very, very smart. Weta Michael, who runs the Holly Hill Inn and other restaurants, and if you haven't been down there, the West 6 Brewery down there, she opened up a seafood restaurant right next door, and they actually have the fish in the tank. I mean, this is the freshest fish right in the brewery, right in the West 6 Brewery. It's like 6th and Jefferson, or 3rd and Jefferson.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's a great beer.
3rd and Jefferson? No, it's got to be further
back. 6th and Jefferson.
Is it the old?
6th and Jefferson, the old bread building.
Huh?
It's the old bread bill.
Oh, the old Honeycrust bread bill.
Yes.
Yeah. That's 6th Street.
We'll get them there. Yeah, 6th and Jefferson.
Well, hell, you were three blocks away. You said
I was three sheets to the wind, which is why I can't remember where the damn place was. But anyway, Weta has Holly Hill Inn, and she's along with historian Joe Fisher, they found the original recipes and the original menus that they served at the first horse sale in Kentucky. And so she's going to fix that meal and for this big event. And this is a year from this year, 2014. And we'll have a member of the Hall of Fame at every table.
Wow.
So it's going
to
be really, really great, great
shape.
Well, we'll, you know, just get out your checkbook and save your dough.
Uh-oh.
It's all for the old horses.
That'll be expensive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know if we can afford this one or not.
Oh, no, you can afford it. Don't worry about it. We'll do the show live that day. And live from Woodburn Farm, it's the Ursula Ellis Show. But that should be a great event. But this one on October 6th is going to be a smaller event that's going to introduce everybody to what we're going to do the following year. And we're just going to fix some food. We're going to have a bar and it'll be like $25.
Yeah.
And we're looking for sponsors and for people that really want to get involved in it because it's really going to be a great, great thing. We've got a great team working on it. So
very good. All right, Michael.
Ursel, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you. As usual, I won't steal your racing form. Go ahead. Keep it yourself.
Hey, here, you're going to contribute to the – make sure I got the right one.
Yeah, go ahead. All right.
Yeah, I want to mention, too, that they have that little article on Sadler's Wells Coolmore had built a museum in Feathered, Ireland, mm-hmm. at Sadler's Wells Museum. Okay. So it's quite a...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should have a field trip.
They have a breeding museum down in Paris now, on the horse industry. I haven't been over there.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to stop in and see what they've got, you know. I'll do that, and we'll report.
Okay, good.
All right.
I'll report next week on how much fun the Secretary of Festival was.
Sounds like a winner. All right, well, let's see where I am. Okay, woo, yearlings from the first crop of Warrior's Reward offered at the current Keeneland sales have sold for $220,000, $140,000, $130,000, $125,000, $110,000, $110,000, $100,000, $100,000, $100,000. No doubt about it. He's hiring solid individuals that make a good impression at the sales. Maybe buyers saw him win a grade one car to handicap. 1.7 furlongs and 1.21 and change at Aqueduct. Maybe they know that he posted a 1.13 buyer speed rating as a 3-year-old. No member of his crop ran faster. Or perhaps they read where he was described as the fastest son of Medaglia d'Oro by True Nicks. Or that he performed with distinction not only in the grade one Carter, but in the Grade 2 Churchill Downs Stakes, the Grade 2 Dwyer, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, the Grade 3 Phoenix, and the Grade 3 Northern Dancer. He was game, he was consistent, and he looked the part of a runner, as do his foals. He's got a lot going for him. Stands at Spendthrift Farm, and he covered a 252 mares in his first two seasons at stud. For more about the Spendthrift Stallions, get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker, 859-294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty. Jackie, did you take your lubricin this morning?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Jackie just...
I live on that stuff. That stuff's great.
She's trying to get me back on the tennis courts again.
Or dancing. We could go dancing.
Well, last time we went dancing, I had a hip replacement. I still got one good hip, so I'm not going.
That means no dipping, right?
No dipping.
Got it.
And, well, it's a great product, and not only does Jackie use it, some pretty good trainers use it. Todd Fletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer, Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. And what it does, it's all natural, it's test-free. It sustains the integrity of the joint fluid and reduces the need for costly and painful acid injections and things like that. I don't think Jackie wants an acid injection, but anyway. So that is Lubricin. And it's good, great for horses, and they make it for humans, which Jackie uses for humans. You can get it over at Old Friends. At the KBC in Lexington, Horse Sense down in Versailles. Go to lubricin.com, lubricin.com. Now, Reborn is another product developed by Dr. Steve Alday, who's a veterinarian, of course, one of the best in the country, used by, Todd Fletcher and people like that. Anyway, it strengthens the immune system. It's great to start out giving it to your foals because, it's a 100% sterile whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. And as I said, it does strengthen the immune system. A lot of trainers use that. Charlie Lepresti, we were talking about Wise Dan a little bit earlier. Wise Dan was Horse of the Year, and he used it on that horse. So, yeah, it's Reborn, reborne.com. And once again, you can get it at Old Friends, KBC in Lexington, and Horse Sense in Versailles. Two great products. Well, the first foals by Cowboy Cal are 2-year-olds, and through the middle of September, 9 of the first 12 starters have won a place, and they're competing at the major tracks at Churchill, and Woodbine, Arlington, Monmouth, Ellis Park, Gulfstream. Cowboy Cal was an excellent 2-year-old, won the Law of Futurity by 6 1/4 lengths after running a mile in 1:34 flat to break his maiden at Belmont Stake at Belmont as a 2-year-old. But he really got rolling at 3 4, winning or placing in 12 more stakes, 11 graded, 4 grade 1. He won graded stakes at Keeneland, Gulfstream, Santa Anita. In fact, he won 3 graded stakes at Santa Anita. Retired with earnings of more than $1 million. He is by the emerging sire's Giants Causeway. Well, First Samurai, Charmadal, Footsteps in the Stand, they're by Giants Causeway. They're signed graded stakes winner. Cowboy Cal sprinted a mile in 1:33 flat. brilliant speed. He was at his best around two turns, so look for his progeny to be just like him. Stands at Pin Oak Stud with the Stallions Broken Vow and Sky Classic. Inquiries at Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens and see the website at pinoakstud.com. All right, Jackie, you want to do some announcements so I can shut
sure,
up for a while?
Sure, absolutely. Like Michael was saying, today's the Secretariat Festival. It's in Paris, and it is a good time. It's from 9 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. It's free. It's a great place to take kids. They're going to have all sorts of people around that you might want to get autographs. They're going to have a gallery of arts, crafts, gifts, and official Secretariat merchandise. They're going to have a silent auction. They're going to have a lot of equine demonstrations and competitions. That'd be good. I think they have, now I heard this wrong, but a Secretariat look-alike contest for ponies.
Okay.
Which is so cute. What a cute idea. And you can also take a tour of Claiborne Farm and the Secretariat burial site. And last night they had...
Not only Secretariat, they have some great horses buried there.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Blenheim, Sir Galahad, you name it, you know.
Oh, here's who else is going to be there. Pete Rose.
Old Pete.
And Johnny Bench. And Joe Morgan and Tony Perez.
Yeah, the Big Red Machine.
The Big Red Machine.
Boy, it was a great team.
Woo! Isn't that something?
Wow.
Wow. And Lafitte Pinkai, Pat Day, Jean Kruger, Chris McCarron, Eddie Maple, Jacinto Vasquez, Jorge Vasquez. No, Velasquez. He is his name. And Mike Manganiello. So, it's going to benefit the Secretariat Foundation. So anyway, that's a great way to spend the day. I think I'll probably take Betsy and ride over there. Tomorrow is September 22nd, and from 2 to 5, they are going to have volunteers, and hopefully that includes you, at the Masterson Station Park's annual work day. It's from 2 to 5. They're going to have snacks and drinks provided by good old Macaulay's. They help out with a lot of stuff out
yes,
at
they do.
Masterson. So, and it's not going to rain tomorrow. It's going to be gorgeous, 72. If you got a weed eater or a hedge trimmer, that's good. Bring work gloves and a smile, it says. Ha! Huh. Meet at the parking lot by the Hunter Ring at 2 o'clock. If you want any more information, what the heck is their Facebook page? Masterson, I don't know, you can Google it, Masterson Station Park Equestrian Facility in Lexington, Kentucky. Also, coming up at Masterson, Sunday, November 3rd, God, that sounds so cold, but it's just not far away. They're going to have the Masterson Equestrian Trust Hunter Pace. This is such a good idea. They used to do this, oh God, I don't know how long ago, at the horse park. And now they're going to do it at Masters. I think this is a great idea. Hunter Pace is a timed event. Replicate pace riders would use to keep up with the hounds. Huh, not Woodford hounds. Not slower than Woodford hounds, I'm here to tell you. Anyway, Hunter Pace teams are 2 to 4 members. There's a family class open to any number of family members. Jumper group will be fast. Non-jumping group, slower. And then the trail rider group will go slower and ride a shorter course. So, what a fun day that is. I'm glad they're doing it out there. That's a good place to do it. Horse park's just got too much else going on. That kind of doesn't work. But that was the last one. Then Woodford's been having a Hunter Pace out at Missy Brown's. They did that for a couple of years. I don't know if they've done it for the past few. Done it somewhere. Can't remember. Anyway, this is going to be nice. Today is the 21st at the Horse Park Kentucky National Hunter Dumper Show. That's today and tomorrow. Next weekend, Jumpstart Horse Trials. And then we get into October. I can't believe it's October. Going to have Paso Fino National Grand Championship and the rest of Jumpstart What else is going on? They got a lot of Pasadena stuff. They got a Saddlebred show coming up first week of October. Oh, and if you want to see something really that you don't see a lot, Kentucky Classic Combined Driving Event. And Pasofino goes on for a week or something. A lot of Pasofinos. They're very showy. So, a lot of good stuff coming up. October, the end of October is the All-Tech National Horse Show. That's such a big deal. The All-Tech National Show, yeah, it's really huge. When's Halloween? It's the end of October, 1st November, isn't it?
No, never November. It's always in October.
Always in October. I wonder if they're going to have the Halloween trail ride and tack sale from CKRH. Oh, here it is. I found it. It's on October 26th. Central Kentucky Riding for Hope Halloween trail ride and use tack sale. That's always fun. They get the kids out on the ponies, and they get all dressed up, so...
Got to interrupt you at the top of the hour, my dear.
All right, go.
All right, well, yearlings from the first crop are looking at lucky. Sold for $490,000, $320,000, $300,000, $270,000, $260,000, $230,000 at the current Keenan sales. 11 others have sold for $100,000 or more. Looking at lucky's 2013 stud fee was $25,000, doing a full stance in nursing. And the first foals by Munnings are also yearlings, and they've sold for $170,000, $130,000, $100,000, with 10 others going for $50,000 or more. Munnings' 2013 stud fee was $10,000 doing a full stand of nursing. Looking at Lucky and Munnings stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Classic winner Looking at Lucky by Smart Strike was a champion at both 2 and 3, earned over $3,307,000. Munnings by Sprightstown won a place in 9 graded stakes, 6 of them grade 1, for earnings of over $750,000. Both are sighing solid individuals that make a good impression at the sales. For more information about the stallions at Ashford Stud, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website, coolmore.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
WLXT Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville! What price they'll cost?
Well, yearlings from the first crop by Majestic Perfection have sold for $285,000, $230,000, $220,000, $160,000, $155,000, $132,000. They look and act like runners, just like their sire. Majestic Perfection sold for $370,000 as a two-year-old in training sale, with the astute horseman David Engordo making the successful bid. Later, David was quoted as saying that Majestic Perfection was the best-looking horse he'd ever bought at public auction. Majestic Perfection lived up to his looks, never beaten on a fast track. Won the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt Stakes at Saratoga, won by nearly 3 lengths at the direct expense of Breeders' Cup Sprint winner Big Drummer. Earned a 115 bar that day. He sprinted 6 furlongs to 107.1 to post a 117 bar. Described by Steve Asmussen as the fastest horse I have ever seen. Majestic Perfection is a superb individual. He was a superb racehorse. First foals are superb individuals, and we're betting that they, too, will become superb racehorses. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Burton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. You want to continue, Jackie, or?
I'll be happy to. 2013 Pedigree and Confirmation Clinic, put on by Toba, is here in Lexington, Monday, October 1st, Tuesday, October 8th. No, 7th and 8th. I said that wrong. Courtyard Marriott is where it will be held. Registration breakfast. They're going to have pedigree research, management, confirmation, pedigree and breeding theories. They're going for a tour and lunch at Spendthrift. Ned Toffee's going to talk a stallion show. And of course, that'll be at Spendthrift. They're going to talk about confirmation evaluation, discussions of mares, weanlings, and yearlings. That's Ned Toffee and Kitty Taylor of Warrendale Sales. Let's see. The next day, they are having practical applications, planning a made thing, thoroughbred training and confirmation. And what's TBD? I don't know what that's at TBD. I have no idea what at TBD. Oh, and they're going to tour confirmation from a vet perspective, tour of Woodford Equine Clinic. Kentucky Horse Park has been named a TripAdvisor Traveler's Choice winner for 2013. They're in the top 25 of all the amusement parks and water parks in the United States. That's pretty, there's a lot of them. So that's a very, very prestigious win and well-deserved. Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club Directory is going to show services offered at your farm if you submit them through a link by September 30th. So you got about a week left. KTFMC.org, update farm information. Because a lot of people just put down the name of the farm and, you know, manager or something and phone numbers. And this is a good advertising link. You need, people refer to the farm manager's directory all the time. So it's a good idea to put in a little line, a sentence, or a phrase that says what you're doing. Kentucky Trail Summit, an annual event hosted by the Kentucky Horse Council and the Kentucky Equine Education Project, which is KEEP. They're going to bring together Kentucky Equestrian Trail Riders at Natural Bridge State Park this year, November 15th and 16th. I wonder if the leaves will still be nice in the middle of November. Might be. Sometimes they really are nice at that time. Anyway, you if you want to go, it's just $30. Go to www.kytrailsummit.com. As I mentioned before, All-American All-Tech National Horse Show will be back at the Horse Park at All-Tech Arena October 29th through November 3rd. This is such a big deal. I don't know how you'd even, it's a bigger deal than people really realize. I think people away from Kentucky know more about it. They had, I don't know how many hundred thousand people come here from out of state. It is really the big, it's sort of like the horse show at the fair for saddlebreds. It kind of winds up the year and it's sort of, I don't know, the end of the year competition. You see a lot of champions and stuff. Former Olympians, world champions, all that good stuff. Not only that, they're having a $250,000 All-Trek Grand Prix. That's a jumping contest. And, of course, the ASPCA Alfred B. McClay Finals for Youth. That's what it was really famous for. And they're going to have stuff for kids, Halloween trick-or-treat, and a barn night for horse-crazy youth, a showcase for Kentucky cuisine and culture, etc. And also, two consecutive years, the show was named Horse Show of the Year by the National Show Hunter Hall of Fame. And in last year, received the Heritage Competition designation from the United States Equestrian Federation. That is a big deal. You really need to get tickets for this. They're on sale, and it's something. I mean, it is really a big show. What? Oh, Red State Barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're having a really nice see if I can remember it. I had it on my computer. Ribs and something and a beer or something for $11. I can't remember. You know, they have specials every week, and they've got a new charity that they're talking about now, too. I'll look it up and see if I can find it. You know, every month he takes 20% of his, is it weekend or Sunday? Sunday ticket sales.
Yeah.
And gives it to a particular charity, yeah, which is a really nice thing. That's nice, but come on, it's the barbecue that's so good. It is out of this world. In fact, I think they're catering Doc's party.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
can't wait.
Ursel wants to get there early, make sure he gets some ribs. Because he loves the ribs, but I'm telling you, that brisket is the best stuff I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
And the coleslaw, I could go on and on. It's delicious. The sides are great. Baked beans, coleslaw, corn pudding, green beans, green mac and cheese, da-da-da-da-da. Wonderful. Great sauces. Great.
He does a lot of tailgating business.
Oh, yeah.
People call.
Oh, yeah.
And get, you know, for tailgating and so forth.
For UK, yeah. That's, he sure does.
That's David Carroll, you know, who's operating that place now.
It's out on Georgetown Road. It's not out too far.
No, it's on the right going out. Right in front of the Sunset Motel, as a matter of fact, which has been there forever and ever and ever.
It's great. It's a great homey place. You know, you just go sit and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. They don't have napkins there. They've got paper towels.
Paper towel.
A big roll of paper towels.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great? Well, that's what you need because, you know, if you
get those ribs, that's what you need.
That's it. You get that stuff all over you. It's great.
Yeah. But it really is good. In fact, they won awards for the quality of their, you know.
Oh, yeah. What was that Taste of the Bluegrass Award?
Yeah, for the brisket slider. Best entree. You know.
Yes. It was. Whew.
So it's right out to Georgetown Pike on the right. You can't miss it. Just a couple of miles from the bypass out there. Lovely place to do business. All right, well, in racing last Saturday, the Grade 3 Kentucky Downs Turf Cup Stakes was won by Temerain, a four-year-old son of Arch. At Belmont, the Grade 3 $200,000 Noble Damsel Stakes was won by Peace Preserver, a four-year-old filly by Warfront. And at Parks, the $250,000 PTHA President's Cup Stakes was won by Swift Warrior, a five-year-old horse by First Samurai. Temerain, bred by Donald and Michael Nowell, has earned over $446,000 now. He is one of 14 2013 stakes horses by Arch. Nine of the 14 have won a place in graded stakes, with four graded stakes winners. Peace Preserver, bred by Cherry Valley Farm, is Warfront's 14th 2013 stakes winner. 10 of the 14 have won graded stakes. He ranks fifth on the general sire list, first on the juvenile sire list. Winner stakes last year at Belmont, Priest Preserver has earned over $382,000. Swift Warrior, bred by Patchett Bloodstock, Neartic Bloodstock, and Carhue Investments, has earned nearly $617,000. He's one of six 2013 stakes winners, 12 stakes horses by First Samurai, and 8 of the 12 have won a place in graded stakes, including a Grade 1 stakes winner. Warfront, Arch, First Samurai, stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sam. See the website, Claiborne Farm. LexHorseFarms.com. Just got my new Keeneland magazine picked up yesterday, and LexHorse Farms, that's Hill and Reagan Parker, have a nice advertisement in there, some property they've got for sale, wonderful listings that they have, present listings in Fayette and Bourbon, and Jesmond and Woodford, Scott, Clark County, wide variety of location sizes and prices, and Hill and Reagan are two of the nicest people you ever want to meet, and they're people that you can trust, and they'll be able to find you the perfect farm that you're looking for, because they're horsemen, they know, and they know what you're looking for, and I tell you what, they're a pleasure to do business with them. And they've been in real estate business for over 12 years now, and of course, Hill was a trainer out here for many years, licensed trainer, A-level pony clubber. So he's a horseman. And they got a place right up the road from us. It's at a lovely location on Clay Kaiser. It's on the other side of Brentsville, closer to the Cynthiana Road. And it's a nice piece of property. We boarded a couple of mares over there when we first moved over there in that direction. And it's a lovely piece of property. So.
And it goes back to that beautiful creek.
Yeah, it is. So Give him a call. The number is, they live in Lexington, Hill and Reagan do. It's 859-608-8039 is their home number. And their website number is an easy one, LexHorseFarms.com. LexHorseFarms.com. Well, his race to win, winner last Sunday, the Grade 3 Ontario Derby at Woodbine, is one of 10 2013 stakes winners by Stormy Atlantic. With earners of nearly $6 million this year, he ranks 10th on the North American sire list among all sires active in North America. In fact, he's ranked among the top 15 for 7 straight years. Get Stormy is the leading money winner among the more than 75 stakes winners by Stormy Atlantic. He's earned $1,606,812. During his career, Get Stormy won 9 stakes, 7 graded, 3 grade 1. Grade 1 wins came at Keeneland, Churchill, and Gulfstream. He was a front runner. He looks the part of a grade 1 stakes winner, superior individual. Get Stormy completed a successful first year at stud this year over at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. And while in Lexington for the sale, you're invited to inspect the Crestwood stallions. Just call the farm, 859-252-3770. For more information about Crestwood Farm, see the website, crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Do you have any more announcements? You want me to go ahead and take care?
I have a few. Yeah. I was looking on my Facebook to find that exactly it's $11 and it's a special and it's food and drink. I know that. I was just seeing where
over
it is.
Over at Red State?
Yeah. Oh, nabbit. Last night, all right, Grandpa, last night was senior night
at Red State?
No, at Lafayette. I wonder if they won. I don't know. We were going to go because Jamie.
Oh,
granddaughter Jamie Highland is a flag and rifle person.
Yeah.
With and they do a really good job. Those kids work so hard.
That's a good band.
Yeah, but we went to one of their competitions. I mean, those kids work so hard.
They were in a Rose Bowl parade last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Good band. They were really good. Yeah.
Do you want me to finish? Or
I was impressed. She throws that rifle up there about 20 feet in the air and catches that thing.
I know.
I told Ben, Ben's her brother, he's on the golf team over there. I said, I bet you can't throw a golf club like that and catch it.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, okay. No. Tonight, this afternoon, starting at 5, Author and Author Hancock are going to be at Shaker Village for the Bluegrass in the Barn Festival. And they're playing from 5 to 6, and then 6 to 7:30 is Town Mountain. 7:30 to 9:30 is Barn Dance for the Kentucky Ridge Runners. All the proceeds from Bluegrass in the Barn support the building of new recreational and equestrian facilities at the stable. Now, they've got a section down there where you can, when you pull into Shaker Village, you turn left and wind around. They got a nice barn and a nice porta potty. And a couple of paddocks. So what more do you need? Yeah. But they're going to spruce it up and stuff. It's a great way to support Shaker Village, and it's a great place, period. September 29th, that's next, a week from tomorrow, Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club annual trail ride at Shaker Village. You go down to the barn that I was talking about. It's $15 a rider. Lunch will be supplied by Shaker Village at the end of the ride. It's about a 2-hour ride. You can ride longer if you want. RSVP fast because they kind of want to know how many people are coming. KTFMC.org and find out. That's the nicest place to ride because if you get out there, you lose a shoe or you just get tired, you can take a map with you. They give you maps, and you're riding along away from the barn. You can take another trail and go back. It's very, very nice. The trails are beautifully maintained. KTA and KTOB, free subscription to European Bloodstock News. Go to Claire at europeanbloodstocknews.co.uk. And I think that's kind of neat. If you want to watch horses getting prepped for the Alltech National Horse Show, you can go to alltechequinetv.com, see what you come up with, because they broadcast shows and stuff on the internet, not on television, but on the internet. alltechequinetv.org. When you get a ticket to the Kentucky Horse Park, you get two tickets. You go on Saturday, you get a ticket for Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah, that's nice, because people come in from out of town. You can't do it all in a day. You know, it might be a show you're watching. You want to watch the finals or something the next day.
Oh, okay. You through?
I'm through.
Finished, okay.
Stick a fork in me.
Okay, take care of our friends over at the KTA. That'd be David Schweitzer, of course, the breeders of stakes winners last weekend and during the week. They always pick up some during the week. Of course, Wise Dan won the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile Stakes. What did he run that mile in? 131-3. That's a new track record, new course record. 131-3. Good boy, that's downhill, isn't it?
You're kidding. Who did that?
Wise Dan last week, and he won it easy.
It has to be a new track record.
But yeah, of course he was bred by Mort Fink, and I tell you, he's fun to watch. He's fun to watch, that horse is. The Grade 2 Summer Stakes up at Woodbine winner was a first-time starter by Artie Schiller. Artie stands over at Windstar. This one bred by Paul Tackett, who stands over in Georgetown. My Conquistadori was her name, which won by 3 1/4 lengths. And she went the mile in 134-4. That's pretty rapid, you know, for a 2-year-old filly. And Artie Schiller. The Kentucky Turf Cup Grade 3 at Kentucky Downs winner was Tamarain. That's a 4-year-old son of Arch, bred by Donald. And Michael Nile, Arch, of course, is at Claiborne Farm. The Noble Damsel Stakes Grade 3 at Belmont Park winner was Peace Preserver by Warfront, who also stands at Claiborne. This one bred by Cherry Valley Farm in Bourbon County. The Pucker Up Stakes Grade 3, daughter of Olympia Pucker Up, was I'm Already Sexy won that, bred by Equus Farm. The PTHA President's Cup Stakes at Parks, worth $250,000, went to Swift Warrior by First Samuel. He's a 5-year-old. I think he's from the first crop by First Samuel. Bred by Paget Bloodstock, Neartic Bloodstock, and Carl Hugh Investments. Of course, First Samuel, son of John's Causeway, stands at Claiborne also. The Small Wonder Stakes at Delaware Park was won by another Artie Schiller, Hop the Six, bred by the Elkstone Group. Let's see, the Franklin Simpson Mile Stakes at Kentucky Downs winner was by another one of those Kittens Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. I don't know if this one had won stakes before or not, but of course the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Filly Stakes at Kentucky Downs, of course, was bred by Lean on Kitten, another Kitten's Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. Boy, what kind of a stud horse he turned into! The Open Mind Stakes at Churchill Downs went to Vuitton, bred by the Padua Stables. The Gold Cup Stakes up in Western Canada went to Balaga Bull. He's won 12 of his 15 starts. He's by Flashy Bull, stands over at Edgerstad, bred in Kentucky, though, by Bernard and Michelle Vertuca. The Phil Derby Shepherd Stakes, I guess it's at Barrett's, was won by Miss Scatalicious, by Scat Daddy, who stands over at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, bred by Stanley Seeley. The Fair Queen Stakes at Albuquerque winner was Money at Last, by Spring at Last, who stands at Windstar Farm. And this one bred by Ron Blake and Signet Farm. The HBPA Sprint Handicap at Canterbury winner was won by National. He's won a bunch of stakes. He's by Awesome Again, bred by Mr. and Mrs. Jerry Moss. The First State Dash Stakes at Delaware Park. Debt Ceiling won that, bred by Brandywine Farm. That's Pam and Jim Robinson. Boy, they raise a lot of runners. The Judy's Red Shoe Stakes at Calder winner
was Dreaming of Sophia, read by Frank Calabrese. Barrett's debutante stakes out at Fairplex. I don't know why they call it Barrett's Race Meet. Well, it's at Fairplex. City by the Bay won that, bred by Susan Donaldson. George Rosenberger Memorial Stakes at Delaware Park, final escrow, bred by Waterville Lake Stables. Don't know those people. Rikitavi Stakes at Delaware, Vegas No Show won that, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. That was on Thursday, and also on Thursday at Belmont. The Grade 1 Lonesome Glory Handicap going 2.5 miles. It's a steeplechase race, and winner Gustavian, a 7-year-old gelding by Giant's Causeway, bred by Whitewood Stables in Kentucky. What did he get for winning that? Picked up a check for $90,000. The Al Haymon Stakes at Belmont Stakes on Friday. Shanghai Bobby, Eclipse Award winner, 2-year-old last year by Harlan's Holiday, who stands over at Windstar. Bred by Stonehaven Steadings. It was his first start since last March and a 4C early pace and ran 6.5 furlongs and 115 and 3 and got up to win. And, welcome back, Bobby. The Zaftig Stakes at Belmont Park. That was yesterday. Old Daniel won it, bred by Dixiana Stables. Also yesterday, the Bangles and Bead Stakes at the Barretts meeting at Fairplex. Went to Concate, bred by Jim Didion and Sylvia Didion. All those Kentucky bred stakes winners over the weekend and during the week. So, another good week for Kentucky breeders. Well, the first yearling by Mizzen Mass offered at the current Keeneland sale sold for $390,000. 18 have sold. 16 were offered, I just say. 18 were offered and 16 sold. And they sold for prices befitting the only sire of 2 winners of Grade 2 Breeders' Cup races last year. $380,000, $270,000, $135,000, $115,000, $195,000. Those 2 Breeders' Cup winners, incidentally, Flotilla and Misdirection, have won major stakes again this year. Flotilla has won the Classic Group 1 French 1,000 guineas. Misdirection has won 3 more graded stakes. She's earned over $1 million now. Miz and Mass, of course, has sired 5 Grade 1 winners. He sired the winners of major stakes at distances from 6 furlongs to 1.25 miles. You sired the winners of major stakes on dirt, grass, and artificial. You sired a classic winner. You sired as many as 24 2-year-old winners in a single crop. In short, Mizzen Mass has accomplished about all that could be asked of a sire. Horsemen know this. Thus the demand for his progeny at the sales. Grade 1 winner Mizzen Mass stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries at Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, horses raised on Macaulay products won 5 stakes last weekend, then won another one yesterday. The big one was at Woodbine, where Wise Dan won the Grade 1 $1 million Woodbine Mile. Bred by Mort Fink, raised at Patch and Wilkes. Wise Dan has earned over $5 million. Arguably the 2 best older horses in North America, Wise Dan and Game On Dude, were both raised on products from Macaulay's, and together they've earned over $10,600,000. Game On Dude was bred and raised, of course, at Adena Springs. In other weekend stakes, Debt Ceiling, winner of the first state dash stakes at Delaware, was bred and raised by Jim and Pam Robinson at Brandywine Farm. The Rikitavi Stakes at Delaware was won by Vegas No Show, bred and raised by Stone Street Farm. The Churchill Downs Open Mind Stakes went to Vuitton, bred by Padre Stables, raised at Three Chimneys. In Canada, the Gold Cup Stakes was won by Beluga Bull, bred by Bernard and Michael Vertuga. Then yesterday at Belmont, last year's winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Eclipse Award winner, Shanghai Bobby, bred by Stonehaven Steadings, won his first start since last March by taking the Al Haymon Stakes at Belmont. So congratulations to all from their friends over at Macaulay Brothers. And to know more about the Macaulay products, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Check the website, MacaulayBros.com. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse.
And Stephanie Police kitten gets running robe and runs on the wind.
Pardon me. Excuse me, ma'am. I'm trying to catch a purse snatcher. I understand that one Kenneth Ramsey, the leading owner, has been stealing all the purses from the Saratoga race course on a daily basis. Do you have any clue as to why this is happening? Kitten's joy? It's due to kitten's joy? What is a kitten's joy? You say kitten's joy is the number one sire in America of stakes winners, grade one winners, stakes horses, and graded stakes horses? And where would I find this kitten's joy? At Ramsey Farm? So kitten's joy is the reason for all of this purse snatching? I guess the only way to catch a purse snatcher like Ken Ramsey is to beat him at his own game, which would be to buy a kitten's joy or breed a kitten's joy. One more thing, ma'am. Keep calm and contact Ramsey Farm.
All righty. Well, I've got time to do a little history here. Since my guest didn't show up, I'm having a rough luck on guests here lately. I've been stood up the last 2 weeks.
Yes, you have.
Maybe I better change my deodorant or something. I don't know. Whatever. I'm about surprised on this one. Anyway, well, they're running the Gallant Bloom Handicap today. And I remember the mare, Gallant Bloom, very well. She was by Gallant Man, son of Magoli. She was by Bois Roussel. Gallant Man, of course, stood over at Spendthrift Farm. And guy, he was out of Multiflora by Bo Max. And Multiflora was, I don't believe she raced. She didn't win. Right? She placed. She didn't win. But Gallant Bloom, of course, was a champion two-year-old filly of 1968 and a champion three-year-old filly in 1969. And got a great pedigree. She's bred by King Ranch and was trained by, started out with being trained by Max Hirsch and ended up trained by his son, W.J. Hirsch. And she started her first, made her first start, but it was an unofficial start in Aiken in a trial down there. And won that by a length. But her first official start was at Belmont Park as a two-year-old, and she won by 9 lengths. Then in her second start, she won the National Stallion Stakes, beating Golden Ore and Totala. And then she turned in three straight losing races. I don't know, all three out of the money. An allowance race at Monmouth, the sorority at Monmouth, and then the Spinaway Stakes at Saratoga. In fact, she got beat 18 lengths in the Spinaway. Thereafter, though, she got pretty tough. Next start, she won an allowance race. This was up in August at Aqueduct. She won by 3 lengths, beating a great race mare in Chuvie, daughter of Nazra, of course, as we all know. Then she ran in the Matron at Aqueduct. She won that by 9 lengths. Sent her to Belmont for the Frisette. She got beat a neck. Chuvie beat her that day. She had a 3 length lead at the 8th pole, opened up and led all the way, and then got caught by Chuvie, but Chuvie caught a lot of them. Moved over to Garden State in an allowance race there, and she won by 2 1/4 lengths. Then they put her in the Gardenia, and the Gardenia, that was her last start of the year, and it was the last time she was saddled, incidentally, by Max Hirsch, and she won that by 1 1/4 length, beating Chuvie. So she beat Chuvie in 2 out of 3 meetings as a two-year-old. She was undefeated as a three-year-old in 1969. Won her first start at of the year in May at Aqueduct in the Liberty Bell Handicap. And she beat Clem's Fairy Gold, her daughter Clem. Then she won an allowance race at Monmouth Park by a couple of lengths. She won the Post-Deb Stakes at Monmouth Park. Beating Process Shot, who was an awfully good filly. And then they put her in the Monmouth Oaks, and she won that by 12 lengths, beating Hail to Patsy. Then in the Delaware Oaks, she got beat 1 1/4 length
by Pit Bunny, but Pit Bunny was disqualified, and they moved Gallon Bloom up to first. Says it was impeded. And anyway, Johnny Rodd's riding her, by the way, at that time. He rode her most of her lifetime, although Baeza rode her a couple of times. But in the Delaware Oaks, it was Johnny Rodd's. In fact, he rode her for the rest of her career. Pit Bunny, as well as Adam McCall, was a daughter of Hasty Road. In the Gazelle at Belmont, she won by 3.5 lengths, beating Pit Bunny and Shuvie. Shuvie was third. Then she won the Matchmaker Stakes, beating Gamely, another great race mare. And in the final start of the year was right out here in the Spinster, and she beat Miss Rebo and Sales Day in the Spinster. And there was no betting that day. Won well in hand, it says, by 2 lengths. She made 4 starts as a 4-year-old in 1970. She won the first one by nose, the Santa Maria Handicap out at Santa Anita, beating Commissary. Then she beat Commissary in the Margarita Invitational Handicap by 2 lengths. Then she ran third in the Nassau County Handicap. She came back east, and that was at Belmont. She took on the boys there. Reviewer and Dewan won 2. And then in her last start of her career was in the Suburban, and she showed nothing in that. The race was won by Barometer with Verbatim finishing 2nd. She was, of course, retired to the King Ranch brand, Broodmare Band, and she was a real disappointment. She actually had 6 foals and just 1 winner. Only 2 that got to the races for some reason. She was barren 8 years, so she was around a while. 8 times she was barren. Only winner she had was a horse named Madonna by Grawstark. He was a tough horse. He went 9 races and about $96,000, but it was a real disappointment now because it was a great family. Her 2nd dam, Flowerbed, was at a boudoir, and of course Flowerbed was a half-sister to your host being out of boudoir, and she was the dam of Flower Bowl. She was the dam of His Majesty. She was the dam of Grawstark. And she was, just one of the all-time great producers. She had a couple other stakes. One was Brambles. I think Brambles went to stud. Didn't sign anything, but anyway. But she ended up winning a bunch of money. She won 16 of her 22 starts with a 2nd and a 3rd, and she earned over $535,000. So Gallon Bloom was a little bit better than an empty stall, and she was voted champion 3-year-old filly of the year and 2-year-old filly of her juvenile year, as far as that goes. So anyway, let's go now to talk about Invisor a little bit. He's a sire of in his first crop, the 2013 Graded Stakes winner Alsace, winner of the Grade 3 Modesty Handicap at Arlington, placed in the Grade 1 Beverly D Stakes, that's also at Arlington, placed in 2 more stakes down at the fairgrounds, the Bayou Handicap, the Marie G. Krantz Memorial. They're in right at $332,000 now, still going. He's also, Invisor, also the sire of the 2013 Stakes winner at St. Arthur, winner of the Ontario County Stakes, and placed in 3 other stakes. One of the 3 was the $125,000 Bertram F. Bongard at Belmont. He's earned right at $129,000 now. Of Expression has won over $208,000, placed this year in the Magnolia Jackson Stakes and the Gold Princess Stakes, both of those races at Belmont. Tuchanko is by Invisor, placed in the Manatee Stakes down in Florida, 516. Placed in the Curling Stakes, that's at Saratoga. Midnight Vader, placed in a couple of stakes as a 2-year-old. Invisor, of course, was elected this year to the Hall of Fame. He won 9 Grade 1 stakes, including the Breeders' Cup Classic and the Dubai World Cup. He was a horse of the world as a 4-year-old. Horse of the world as 5 when he was retired. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Ken Barnes and see the website, shadwellfarm.com. You got a horse with a problem of the people, needs a little vet care, the people to call is the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. It is an outpatient facility. You call them up, tell them what your problem is, make an appointment. They'll meet you there, take care of you, and send you home. And they'll give you the price of what it's going to cost right up front. You don't have to, and when you get the bill,
No surprises. That's nice. No add-ons. They're going to tell you what it's going to cost, and it's a state-of-the-art facility there. They've got a state-of-the-art centrifugal machine there, the only standing MRI in the area. Dr. Setter and Dr. Bernard, Bill Bernard, friend of mine, internist. He's been practicing around here for 20 years now, and said he got his learned under Doug Beyer. Well, that's you don't get any better than that, I'll tell you. And Dr. Bernard has a great reputation. So is Dr. Setter. He's an orthopedic surgeon, specializes in sports medicine. He taught at Ohio State. He practiced down in Ocala and came up to Kentucky and practiced, and then he joined Bill over at the Lexington Equine facility over there. And I tell you where it is. You probably know where it is by now. It's right on the corner of Ironworks Pike and Georgetown Pike. You can't miss it. And give them a call over there. I'll give you that phone number right there. The number to call is an 859 number, 9670770. And they'll be glad to show you around, incidentally. Like I say, and it's an elective medicine facility and one of the best in the business. Well, three of the four leading Kentucky-based freshman sires of 2013 stand at Windstar Farm. Number one's Colonel John. He's the sire of 5 2-year-old winners, including grade two stakes winner and grade one placed Concave, plus three others that placed in stakes. Sired his fifth winner last Saturday when Time and Tides won her debut in a maiden special Golden Gate. Pioneer of the Nile has 7 2-year-old winners, among them the highly promising colt River Dancer. He won first time out, maiden special, Belmont Park, and it was a strong second in the grade two with anticipation stakes at Saratoga. Others have won maiden specials at Belmont and Del Mar at Saratoga, down at Ellis Park. Kodiak Cowboy currently ranks fourth on the list, but watch out. Last Saturday at Arlington, his Cool Cowboy won a maiden special by an eye-popping 10.5 lengths. All seven of his winners have won maiden specials. Colonel John, a grade one millionaire by Tisnow, Pioneer of the Nile, a grade one winner by Empire America, Eclipse Award winner Kodiak Cowboy, stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Alrighty. You know, I've been trying to talk about Dedicate for a long time now. I'm going to talk about him right now.
Good.
Because we're getting back to 1957 again.
We've been on 1957 since
1947.
Probably.
Well, he was voted the champion handicap horse of the year in 1957. Although on the Blood Horse Free Handicap, he was weighted under Bardstown, son of Alibi, out of Twilight Tear. Of course, a great race mare, Babula Lee, one of the all-time greats Twilight Tear was, and a great producer as far as that goes. He was the sign of the Blood Horse Handicap at that time, gave Bardstown 130 pounds, and at 129, it was Dedicate. And a Swoon Son. It was a pretty good year for handicap. Well, 127 was Summertan, son of Hialpas, and third brother, another Prince Quillo. Fine was just year after year. He was a 7-year-old that year. He was by Discovery. Raced for Alfred Gwynn Vanderbilt. Anyway, let's get back to Dedicate, who was by Prince Quillo, out of Denny by John P. Greer, bred by Mrs. Edward G. Burke, owned by Jan Burke, trained by Kerry Winfrey. Prince Quillo was the leading sire in 1957, largely through the earnings of Dedicate and Roundtable, two pretty good horses there. He was the first male line descendant, incidentally, of St. Simon to lead the sire list in North America, was Prince Quillo. St. Simon was unbeaten, of course, most successful sire of his time in Europe. Prince Quillo was the son of Prince Rose, who was by Rose Prince, who was by Prince Palatine, who was by Persimmon. Precarious sire line. Prince Palatine was a noted distance runner, won the St. Ledger, was very unfertile. 1920, he was sold to Mr. Sims, E.F. Sims, over here in Paris, Kentucky, that owned a Lapa farm. 12 years old at the time. I don't know if he ever sired any foals in this country or not. But one of the few foals he's sired was in France, was Rose Prince. And Rose Prince was a good runner, but well below classic standards. Stood in England and in France, always stood at low fees. And his only high-class son foaled in England was Prince Rose. Now, Prince Rose was purchased as a weaning by Dr. A. Copper, who was an eye surgeon from Belgium. And Prince Rose was the best runner of his in history of Belgian turf, incidentally, and later went to stud in France. He was killed in the Norman invasion during World War II. And his best son at stud was where Prince Quillo, Prince Chevalier. Prince Quillo started out standing in Virginia at Mr. A.B. Hancock Sr.'s Elsley Farm in Virginia. And stood his first season down at Claiborne in 1947. Dedicate did not win in 8 starts as a 2-year-old. At stud, he was kind of a bust, to tell you the truth. He didn't sire but 11 stakes winners. Smart Dedicate, I'm talking about now. Smart Deb was the best thing he sired. She was a champion 2-year-old filly of her year. Natashka won Alabama in the Monmouth Oaks. Prairie Schooner was pretty good. Queens County Handicap, he won. That was Spy Song Mare. I remember him. That was about it, you know. Dedamood, Danini in France. It was kind of a disappointment at stud, but that is the way it goes. Can't all make it, you know, even the best. But let's get back to his race record, if I can find it here. And he didn't win in 8 starts as a 2-year-old. And it took him a while to win, as a matter of fact. It was up in Jamaica in April before he finally broke his maiden in a maiden special. They won by 4.5 lengths. Willie Bolin rode him. Came back, and then he started on a win streak. And I guess he figured, oh, this is what you want me to do. He won another allowance race at Jamaica. Then another allowance race at Jamaica. And then he went in his first stakes in Garden State. And Sammy Bolmitas rode him that day, and he won that by 0.5 length. Beating Informant, Informant was by Spy Song. Brilliant sprinter, as a matter of fact. Gilding, and everybody made it instead. And then he went over to Garden State again, stayed in Garden State, and he won the Jersey Stakes. Moved him over to Arlington Park, and he got beat in an allowance race there, and then he ran out of the money in the Arlington Classic. That was Nazra, traffic judge. That was a pretty tough field. Went back to Aqueduct, and he won an allowance race there, ran fourth into Jerome, the traffic judge. Traffic judge, the son of Alibi that stood over at the stand station when Lou Darty had it over there. He was a good sire. Went in the Woodward Stakes, which was his last start of the year in 1955, and he ran third, the traffic judge, and Paper Tiger. Paper Tiger was by, I'm pretty sure he was by Stymie. First start in 1956, he got beat a nose in an allowance race at Jamaica. Then he ran 3 more times without winning. The third of those starts was a Suburban, got beat by Nazra, got beat a length and a half. Put him in the Brooklyn, and he won by head, beating Mid-Afternoon, who was an imported horse. Fine ran third, Fine Discovery by Discovery. Just got up and won by head. Then he went into Whitney, won that pretty handy. He won by 4 lengths under Willie Bolin. Arcaro had ridden him into Brooklyn. Then he won the Whitney by 4 lengths over Summertan, was by Heliopolis, and Paper Tiger ran third. Paper Tiger got his number and then beat him ahead. Of course, he was carrying 109 pounds, and Dedicate was in with 123 in the Saratoga Handicap. went to the United Nations handicap, which was his first start on the grass, and he ran fourth to career boy. He was by phalanx. Then he went in the Hawthorne Gold Cup at Hawthorne, and he won that by a head over Summertan and Fine. Ran third in the Gallant Fox to Summertan in mid-afternoon again. And in his last start in the Washington, D.C. International, he ran out of the money. Master Boeing won that, an imported horse for, racing for Bunker Hunt. Finished out 57. First, he got beat in his first start in 1957, and he got beat a nose in the Bowie Handicap by Third Brother, another son of Prince Quillo. He won the John B. Campbell Handicap by a nose over Third Brother. Portersville beat him in the Carter Handicap. He ran second by three-quarters of length to Traffic Judge in the Metropolitan, giving him 8 pounds. He ran third, got beat a neck in the Suburban, giving him 2 pounds. To Traffic Judge won him. Monmouth Handicap, he beating Third Brother again. Then he was in the Atlantic City Handicap. He won by 3 lengths, and they disqualified him, placed him dead last. He ran fifth in the Saratoga Handicap, got beat a neck in the Nassau County Handicap by Gallant Man. He won the Woodward, which probably got him the horse of the year because he picked up 126 pounds and beat Gallant Man 120 and Bull Ruler 120, and that didn't get him a horse of the year, but got him champion handicap horse. And then he finished his last start under Willie Hardtack in an allowance race. So that's the story of Dedicate. Finally got him out of the way. All righty, well, let's see. We're going to have Steve Moody on in just a second. But first, yearlings from the first crop of Warrior's Reward offered at the current Keeneland sales sold for $220,000, $140,000, $130,000, $125,000. Two sold for $110,000. Three more for $100,000. So there's no doubt about it. He's siring good-looking individuals that make a good impression at the sales. Maybe buyers saw him and win the grade one card handicap going 7 furlongs, 121 and change in New York. Maybe they know that he posted a 113 buyer speed rating as a three-year-old. No member of his crop ran faster. Or perhaps they read where he was described as the fastest son of Medaglia d'Oro by Truenix. Or that he performed with distinction not only in the Grade 1 Carter, but in the Grade 2 Churchill Down Stakes, and the Grade 2 Dwyer, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, the Grade 3 Phoenix, the Grade 3 Northern Dancer. He was game, consistent, looked the part of a runner, so do his foals. Got a lot going for him. Stands a spendthrift farm. Covered 252 mares in his first 2 seasons at stud. For more about the Spendthrift Stands, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030. See the website, spendthriftfarm.com.
Sally Vance at Sally Vance Service. There are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty. Well, the feature Churchill Downs today is a Grade 3 Dogwood Stakes. Going 7 furlongs for 3-year-old fillies, and I've got Steve Moody with me, who is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheep. He's going to give us a winner, guaranteed. Who you got, Steve?
All right, Ursula, we got sloppy conditions at Churchill today.
I imagine.
They're off the turf as well, even though this is a dirt race, but three scratches in here, too, out of the field of 9. The 2 State of Love in mine, the 4 So Many Ways, and the 9 horse Fusiachi Wonderful is out. So I think it's kind of a 2-horse race here, Ursula, between the 1 Sky Girl and the 6 horse Finding More. Sky Girl is a lightly raced Sky Mesa filly that's 2 for 2 on the dirt. Both of them over the Churchill Oval. She's run well on and off track. comes in here off of a couple month layoff, but it's been working well. Had a good 5 furlong work on Sunday over the track. She, like I said, she can show she can handle it dry, or she can run it. She can run just well wet. So she's going to be very tough. Corey Lannery rides her for Bill Mott, and then Dan Kinney's horse. Finding more. Comes off of a career best effort in the last time she ran at Churchill. She's also 2 for 2 there. Of course, broke her maiden. She broke her maiden there at a huge price. I imagine Dan's still counting his money from that race. And so I think she's going to be very tough. Kellen Gorder has her, and Joe Rocco has a mount. Very, to me, Ursula's awfully tough to separate them. While I normally don't take horses on the rail in 7 furlong races at Churchill, I did give a slight edge to Sky Girl. So I'm sure Dan will be happy that I put him in the golden two spot. So he should go right to the window. And I'm going to go 1-6 in here. My third pick was Scratch, so we'll just say 1-6 in the Dogwood Stakes.
All right. Explain your what you said about you don't like the horses on the rail going 7 furlongs at Churchill.
Well, I just think that, you know, when you get down there on the inside and some people maybe don't realize it, but that the way the track is laid out there, you have a bend. It's not a straight run. You come out of the chute at Churchill, and then the track bends to the right there as you join up with the main track. And I just don't like horses coming out of that chute when they're on the rail. I'd rather them be a little more outside. And I don't have the courses, you know, they haven't had that many 7 furlong races this short meet, but it's just something that I try to avoid. That's the same goes for Keeneland when they're running on those
Beard courses, six and a half,
7 and Beard course. Don't like horses on the rail there at all. And the stats of Keeneland are even more definitive than Churchill probably. But
you keep the statistics on those things.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Lord Almighty. what about the one turn mile race at Churchill?
Well, I'm not crazy about that one either on the inside, but the one thing about that is at least you've got so far to come there that you do have the opportunity to kind of adjust a little bit if it's a big field.
Yeah.
If you're breaking from 6.5 or 7, it's, you know, you don't have as much time. So, I don't like them down on the mile race either, but I can live with it if I have to.
Okay. Well, Steve, thank you so much. Got to run. Appreciate that little bit of information. And it's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. That's Briss. And you can get it on brisnet.com and or at the tracks. Thank you so much. All right. Winners from Keenan since last week's show from here, Matt Frazier, Bill Hickey, Luis Ferrado, Juan Rubalcaba, Jimmy Cargan, Tommy Mills, John Langemeyer, and Jesse Cardle. Next week we're on at the regular time. It's 7 o'clock kickoff for the football game. So we'll talk to you next week, and thanks for listening. Happy weather, happy